views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get ready for a game changer. Sarah Westall is bringing you Business Game Changers Radio. Mondays at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sarah will bring you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Now here's your host, Sarah Westall.
Welcome to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and you're listening to Conscious Business Radio on the Transformation Talk Radio Network. Today, I am going to be talking about freedom of the press with Delphine Helligand, and she is the one that runs the Reporters Without Borders for the United States. She is the lead researcher for that organization. Reporters Without Borders is an independent organization that is not affiliated with any or with any newspaper or any other media organization. And they work hard to be independent. But the concern that I have is that the United States is ranked 49th out of 180 countries. And that's pretty bad. Why are we ranked in our freedom of the press at 49th? And we're going to dive into that with her and find out what the deal is. And, you know, my concern is that if we do not have freedom of the press and there are certain powers that are controlling it, are we investing in the right businesses? Are we making the right political decisions? Are we getting the candidates in front of us that we want to see? Are we getting propaganda fed to us on a nonstop basis that feeds us in the direction of the people who are in control versus the ideas of everyone so that we can see both sides of a situation and make our own mind up? You know, we're not going to be investing in the right things for this country or for this world if we don't have the information in our hands. Every business leader knows that in order to make a really good decision, you need to have the facts and the information in front of you. If you're only getting part of the facts, part of the information, your decisions are going to be inherently bad. You're going to make the wrong decisions because you don't know what's really going on. And so if we are operating on this basis nonstop year after year, what are we doing? And the concern that I have is that the world index is actually going down. Freedom of the press is going down everywhere, which is really strange. The internet has actually exploded and opened up our ability to communicate. So I think that we're in a renaissance of information and we have more chances than ever to be educated. But the majority of the people don't take that effort. They just are still looking at the same old things that we have always been exposed to. So it's really important for us as a society to take these matters very seriously and understand the importance of us being controlled by very few versus having things opened up and having a more free democratic society. So we're going to talk about that and what this all means. And she really gives a good view of what that organization is doing. And I think it's something that I want to continue to look at as things go on. Next year, they're going to be focusing on who really controls the media and who are the owners of the media in different countries and what that means to freedom as well. And I think that's really important for people to look. I'm surprised it's taken this long for any organization of substance to really look at that, because it's so obvious that the people that control it are the ones that are making all the decisions, and they're making decisions for us. And to be an educated, aware electorate or society, we have to have freedom of the press. So right now I'm going to welcome Delphine to the program to discuss their index, Freedom of the Press Index, and Reporters Without Borders. Hi, Delphine. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. I've been wanting to talk to you for a while. Probably ever since I saw your index, your Freedom of the Press Index that you put out in February. And you're with Reporters Without Borders. And can you just give us a little brief overview of what Reporters Without Borders does and how you're set up independently?
Mm-hmm. So Reporters Without Borders is the largest press freedom organization in the world. We were founded in 1985, so 30 years ago. And now we have offices in 12 countries. Our headquarters are in Paris. But we have a network of 150 correspondents in 130 countries. These are local journalists helping us to report every day on press freedom violation, but also then to defend and assist the journalists on the ground to help them to continue to do their job.
So how do you get the funding for what you do?
So we have three main sources of funding. So the first source are private funding. So it means private foundations, private individuals. So the foundation could be some like the Ford Foundation in the U.S., but actually a lot are from Northern European countries.
Okay.
The second part are public funding, which comes mostly from the European Union, or the Swedish government is an important donor, but we do not accept funding from the U.S. government.
And why is that?
Because I never been accused to be a Swedish government agent, but I'm already, it's just the U.S. government money is not always well perceived when you're trying to do human rights work. So we don't just to not be accused of working for the U.S. government or to try to keep an independent voice and to not be seen as biased in our work.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So, and and as I said, I never been accused to be a Swedish agent, but yes.
But people accuse you of being an agent in the United States.
Or British intelligence or whatever it comes.
Well, the United States is ranked 49 out of 180 countries on your last index. So for priding itself in freedom, that's a pretty low ranking. Why is the U.S. so low?
So yes and no, in a sense. So you're right, the United States are ranked at the 49th position in our World Press Freedom Index. So most of the Americans are very surprised about that. Why we're not first?
I think a lot of people aren't surprised that we aren't first, because if you've been paying attention,
the point that I want, why I started by saying yes and no, is that first, I just, before bashing, don't worry, I'll come to that. First, I just want to say that in this first part of the index, the scores of the countries are very close to each other. So the U.S. is still in the kind of good part of the index.
So the bottom of the good part, right?
No, so what I mean is that we are still far away from countries like North Korea or Turkmenistan or Iran. So yes, but saying that, it's true that we have observed many things these recent years which are concerning in regard of press freedom in a democracy like the U.S. And really our main concerns and which explain this ranking at the 49th position are, if we want to sum up, are two main things. First, we have observed in the recent years many times journalists have been arrested. while covering demonstrations. So last year it was especially during the protests in Ferguson. So we at least 15 journalists were arbitrarily arrested during the confrontation between the police and the demonstrators.
Even if they are clearly marked as journalists, they still get arrested?
Yes, there's been many cases of journalists clearly identified as journalists. The police knew they were journalists, but they were arrested. So, which is just things which should not happen in a democracy. And unfortunately, we have seen that in 2014, but we continue to see that this year in 2015. So that's one concern which really remain high. But the other main concern is really what we called here, kind of war against journalist sources or war against whistleblowers. You probably know that the Obama administration has prosecuted 8 alleged whistleblowers, which is the highest number under any previous administration combined.
And what are they prosecuting them for?
So they're prosecuting them under the Espionage Act. So making the point that leaking valuable information to journalists is an act of espionage. So this is a first concern for us. But what is really concerning for us in regards of press freedom is that in a country where almost all information related to national security is classified and secret.
Exactly.
The only way to know another part of the story than the official PR press conference truth is it's leaks. Leaks are really the lifeblood of investigative journalists.
Well, because if everything is classified, then how do we – there's absolutely no transparency.
Exactly. And even very high-level people in the U.S. government, like former Attorney General Eric Holder, acknowledge that there's too much documents classified, too much information are classified in this country. So it's very hard to get to know what the government is doing. And actually – we, when I say we, it's Reporters Without Borders, but dozens of press freedom organizations have wrote many times to President Obama and to its administration to highlight our concern to prevent important information from getting to the public. And we highlighted the fact that journalists are prohibited to communicate with government representatives without going through the PR services. The government now kind of have this way to always ask the interview questions before allowing an interview to happen, and really controlling more the information the public can know about the government.
And isn't it true that only certain journalists can get into meetings and things? You know, when they do press conferences, they really control what organizations are allowed to even cover it?
That, I think, it really depends on at which level we are talking about. I think, again, we are still in a country where press conferences are open, but then access to certain government representatives can be more and more difficult. We have heard also of the example of pictures of the president are more and more controlled, or things like that. So,
how much does the fact that tight control of the media by a small number of corporations affect the freedom of the index? Because we have few companies that own most of the media in this country. So how does that get factored into your index?
Yeah, so right in our press freedom index, we take into account many criteria. We measure the degree to which opinions are representative in the media, so the pluralism, media independence, environment and self-censorship, the legislative framework, the transparency of the government, or the quality of the infrastructure. So we really try to take into account all these factors, plus the number of journalists who are arrested, killed, imprisoned, who had to flee their countries. Because once again, it's maybe not the case in the US, but we really try to make a broad comparison all around the world. So we try to take into account the lack of pluralism or this kind of thing. But because we observe that the concentration of media ownership is definitely a concerning trend all over the world, we are actually starting a pretty deep analysis on this issue, as I say, all around the world with deep academics review and things like that. And it's what we see in the US with the kind of big six, as we call them. So the big six media groups, which are Walt Disney, News Corp, Comcast, Time Warner, Viacom, and CBS, we really cover a majority of the media.
90%+, correct?
Yes. I don't have the exact percentage, but definitely a large majority of the media. So we observe that in this concentration of ownership in many, many other countries, like in France, actually. It's even more dangerous right now than ever. We really see a concentration of the main French media in really one small end. And we are seeing that now the owners really succeed to not make some documentary getting broadcast, or really the impact is much more visible than in the US. But it's definitely a concerning trend that we observe all over the world.
Wow.
And especially in democracies.
Well, how much does the owners of this media own the media in other countries as well?
I have to say that I don't have specific data yet on that, because really we expect to get the first analysis worldwide in the next months, and so I cannot really answer that right now, but for the moment...
Is that one of the questions you're trying to figure out? Is, okay, we know that the United States has six big ones that own the majority of all media that goes out, but how much is the world's media owned by a select group of people, and how do they all tie back together?
Yeah, we will look into that, but I really... Right now, the example that came to my mind are really kind of national focused, where we saw the impact of this small group of owners was more national consequences than. But as I said, we started this really large overview now, and we will have the first result in the coming months. So I don't want to start.
So that's the next step, right? Is to, okay, now where does it funnel up to the next level?
Yeah.
You are listening to Business Game Changers, and we need to take a short station break.
Get ready to experience Truth Talk Radio with host Deb Acker. Tune in to Truth Talk Radio each Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com to illuminate the truth in your daily life as you experience life, love, and abundance from a whole new perspective. This hit show will leave you feeling lighter and bring you into a place of infinite possibilities every day in every way. Visit TruthTalkRadioShow.com for upcoming transformative topics and guests.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and I'm talking to Delphine Helgen from Reporters Without Borders.
Okay, well, is the government pretty involved in the media from your research? Do they have, like as reports that you'll see, do they actually have correspondents or people from the CIA or FBI and things like that actually in these different media groups?
I have no facts or no investigation on this, so I cannot really comment or add any expertise on this issue. So,
do you have any research on how it negatively affects freedom of business you know, a free market?
So, no, not yet. And again, it's because we want to explore this question that we started this large analysis, and I don't have the results yet. But I can just say that even if we can consider it an issue here in the U.S., you know, I spend most of my time trying to work on issues in China or in Eritrea, or where the control of information is at a completely different level. And in countries like China, where there is almost complete control of the information, where there is almost non-independent voices, yes, we can see a evident impact on the business. How can an American company invest in China without being sure that they know what is really going on? And so I think that's one of the strongest illustration we can find to understand why business need to know what is really happening.
Well, it's kind of scary too, because if they decide they don't want you to be successful there, they can just decide. You don't get advertisements, you just don't get press, and you are bad-mouthed in the press. They can wreck your reputation very quickly.
That's one thing, but it's even stronger if an American company or anybody wants to invest in a country where there's no independent legal system. How can you make sure that your investment will be protected in case of a legal dispute? Or how can you know that your factory is not on a completely polluted zone if you have no way to know anything about the environment in this city or this kind of thing? So I think it goes much broader than just the press by itself. When you restrict press freedom, when you restrict freedom of information, you just restrict any freedom to do anything.
Well, back when the printing press came on board, it took about a century to, 100 years for it to really penetrate through the environment. But the countries that really limited the use of the printing press are still feeling the economic effects of that today. And there's some studies based on that. The ones that were much more free in its use are much farther advanced economically, which is very interesting. So we're going to be going through that same thing now, because this is a second renaissance with this huge media communication that we're going through. And the countries that really try to shut it down and not embrace it are going to feel the economic impacts, just based on historical. You know, history tends to repeat itself, and that's the one example that we have.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And a couple questions. Well, I have lots more questions for you. This is really interesting for me. What specific examples, you named some of them, but what specific examples have you seen that's lowered the United States ranking in this past year?
So I think we started exploring that, but I'm happy to go more into detail. So when I was talking about the crackdown of the U.S. administration against whistleblowers, it goes behind the theories. Actually, a New York Times journalist, James Risen, was threatened to go to jail until last January because he was refusing to give up the name of one of his sources. So a New York Times reporter, Pulitzer winner, was for actually almost during 10 years threatened to go to jail. And actually his alleged source, a former CIA agent, is now in jail. His name is Jeffrey Sterling, and he was sentenced earlier this year to 3 years in prison for allegedly providing classified information to this New York Times journalist, James Risen. But what is very concerning in this case is that Jeffrey Sterling was sentenced to 3 years in prison under the Espionage Act, only on circumstantial evidence.
Oh.
What I mean is that the proof that Yes, he was in touch with James Risen. Yes, they had phone conversation and they exchanged emails. But there's no proof that he gave classified information to this journalist. So the fact that he was in touch with the journalist was enough to sentence him to 3 years in jail under the Espionage Act. So that is a very concerning fact in a democracy, that someone can be sentenced to jail just because he's in touch with a journalist.
Because he talked to somebody. So
yes,
that points to our justice system having some issues and being tied to the government in a way that's not part of our Constitution. But it looks like there's a battle against sources almost more than journalists.
Yes, it's because it's in a sense easier to go after the sources than the journalists. Because in the case of James Risen, when he was threatened to go to jail, hundreds of newspapers and people, actually 100,000 people, signed a petition on his behalf addressed to Attorney General Eric Holder. There were many press conferences to express its support. How can you jail the New York Times journalist? And things, you know, it's easy to get really behind this kind of story, but it's more difficult to get public support and attention when you're a source, when you are the one who really took a risk because you thought that someone was going wrong in the government. So, that's in a sense why we have seen such a crackdown on the journalist sources or alleged whistleblower, because the government really also want to send a message to potential future whistleblower to really make them understand that if there's any leak which are not accepted by the government will go after you and in a very harsh way.
Well, with everything being confidential, top secret, it makes it so difficult. I know when the source for Bernie Madoff came forward, he was very careful to disguise who he was for a long time until they decided to actually go after him because he was worried for his life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very common, and I just can't remember his name right now. I wish I had that in front of me.
No, but there's many examples. We can also think of John Kiriakou, the CIA officer who is known because he made public the waterboarding methods, and he was accused to be a whistleblower, and he had to make a plea with the government, and he went to jail. We can think of Thomas Drake, former high official of the NSA, who was accused to be a whistleblower because he expressed his concern about some of the NSA operation. And the list goes on and go on. The next last week, a big leaks was on how the U.S. government is work. It's a kind of detailed analysis on the drones attacks. So there's someone in the government who wanted to make more information public. So you have leaks all the time on things which I think are of public interest. I think the American public needs to know more about how the U.S. government decide how to kill people through drones or things like that.
Well, do you think what Julian Assange did with WikiLeaks was illegal for him to do? If he got that information and he published it, is that? Because I know the United States is going after him hard.
Mm-hmm. So there, I think that Julian Assange helped to make public some information which were of high public interest value. But at the same time, I value the fact that some whistleblower cooperate with the media to make sure that the information that are published are not injuring anybody and are put into context. And that's what Edward Snowden did. A big difference between Julian Assange and Edward Snowden is that Edward Snowden didn't publish anything. He gave the information to journalists who then filtered it, put it into context, even negotiated with the NSA on what could be published when and so on. So that's a big, big difference. And you, of course, there's some information which cannot be revealed because that could put people into danger. But I think in the case of Snowden, he trusted the New York Times or other journalists to put this valuable information into perspective. And we saw the impact of this information now with the Congress really working on many of the surveillance issue and so on.
He's being really he's being hunted down too by the United States. What is your stance on that?
My main point.
He's a whistleblower,
my main
right?
Point is that leaking information to professional journalists is not an espionage act, and until right now, if he would come back to the U.S., he would be prosecuted as a spy.
Yeah, they'd nail him. He'd be in prison forever.
Yes, most certainly. So I think the U.S. government and other governments should really look at a new way to deal with this with the whistleblowers and really value the impacts and see how actually these people were ready to give up everything to really abandon their comfortable lives because they could not stand the government to do something wrong. So we should better value and concentrate on how to make the country and our governments better than to see how we can put one or two people in jail for revealing information we are all glad to know.
Exactly.
We have to take a short station break. We'll be back in a moment.
A word of caution. If you prefer the status quo and you are not interested in improving every aspect of your life, this book will trigger the shift out of you. The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens is available now. Author Colette Steffen brings the powerful knowledge and life-changing energy and empowerment from the radio airwaves to the pages of her new book. To get your copy in paperback or ebook, visit thetruthisfunny.com today.
Hello, we are back with Business Game Changers on the Transformation Talk Radio Network and Conscious Business Radio, and we are continuing our interview now.
Well, the U.S. has been lower in the past. They were as low as 53, and now we're at 49. But we've also, within the last like 15 years, we've been as low as 20. Have you seen the United States just continually to trend lower?
So, in a sense, yes, the U.S. position varies in the ranking in this last 15 years. So we started the index in 2002. But again, the U.S. remains in this first part of the index, so the kind of best first quarter. And these changes are due to specific concerns, like we say, the arrest of journalists, the crackdown on sources. But, you know, to explain changes like between 49 and 53, it can be also if the ranking of other countries are moving, then it can explain some small difference. But the U.S. has been positioned in the Press Freedom Index is also very important because the U.S. are actually a model for many, many countries. So, you know, when we see that a country like the U.S. abused kind of the concept of national security protection to crack down on journalists, don't worry, many other countries are happy to use the same language to crack down. So we see that Ethiopia, Egypt, Turkey are really using exact kind of really similar language to say, oh, but you know, we are protecting our national security like the U.S. do. So that's why we're cracking down on journalists. Oh. So that's not a good thing.
We lead more than we realize sometimes.
Yes. So anything the U.S. do bad or wrong, and especially wrong, other countries are happy to do the same very quickly.
Well, I've also noticed, and you stated it on your website, that even the top countries are starting to trend lower. Just pretty much everyone have been trending lower. Why is that?
Yes. So it's actually one of the highlights, which is, I think, the most concerning, is that this last year we really observed a deterioration of press freedom, of press freedom and freedom of information all over the world. And really 2/3 of the 180 countries surveyed last year didn't perform as well as the previous year. And this decline affected all continents, including Europe. So it's a concerning trend overall. And there's many reasons to explain this trend. So first of all, conflicts proliferated in 2014, especially in Syria, Iraq, and Ukraine. So of course, when now there's a conflict on the ground, we always observe an information war. And more than that, as you are aware, journalists have been targeted and have been used in this information war, like, of course, the carefully staged beheadings of American journalists. But unfortunately, we see this trend again all over the world. Actually, the number of journalists kidnapped these last 2 years is increasing in a comparable way. Now we observe most of the kidnapping in Syria, but in Iraq, Libya, Ukraine, and now in Yemen. So it's definitely this raise in the number of journalists kidnapped is.
Would you think it's tied to our economic problems or war? Whenever there's war, does things tend to go down, or is it more the economy that's struggling worldwide?
I think for the kidnappings and the targeting of journalists during war is definitely a new thing. I hear again and again that, oh, while I was covering Bosnia or even Iraq, being a journalist was a protection. Now, being a journalist,
they're targets.
So I think it's more linked to the fact that now, with the internet and the social media, anybody involved in a conflict can or want to control its own information, its own propaganda. So they don't want independent journalists who can report the truth.
Whereas before, a journalist being there would just help their cause because they have to get the information out somehow.
Yes.
Now they can get it out themselves and they can craft it exactly how they want it.
Exactly.
So, you know, the internet has really helped freedom overall from some perspectives, but this is an example where it isn't helping.
Yeah, what we have seen is that we all know that the internet, of course, helped tremendously information to circulate. But what we observe is that now, actually, there's as much journalists in prison than bloggers in prison all over the world. So the power of internet becomes also a risk for news providers. You don't need to be a professional journalist now to be targeted for the information you circulate, and that's definitely a new thing that is a reality because of the internet.
Well, do you see disinformation agents all over the internet? Have you done any research on that?
Yeah. So when I was talking about the fact that when now you have a conflict on the ground, you have an information war. So these so-called information wars are, you can see them in Syria, in Ukraine, in Gaza. So it means that each parties involved in a conflict will try to get its own propaganda out and kill the opposition propaganda or something. So you will have some games of disinformation and things like that, especially on social media and so on.
Well, yeah, because if they plant somebody in social media, it really can make a difference.
Yeah.
And also, if a few media companies own the press, the coverage that you're going to do is only going to be good for those businesses. They're not going to allow, I wouldn't think, anything that would hurt sectors and industry. Have you seen that?
Yeah, but because I'm more thinking of conflict where states are involved, and I'm more thinking of media. I'm more thinking of media owned by states I have more like states example than a business example. What I mean is, by example, in Ukraine, one of the key points of the battles were, as soon as the supporters of Russia were in control of a town, they would cut all the Ukrainian TV channels and just bring back all the Russian TV channels. And the same happened when the Ukrainian forces were taking over a new city. The first thing they would do was to cut the Russian TV station and bring back the Ukrainian TV station for the population. So that's this kind of war of information I'm talking about, which is really more like states oriented than companies oriented.
Now, how accurate is the state propaganda anywhere? Is there a country that actually puts out their own propaganda that's kind of accurate, or is it all skewed?
it's a funny question in a sense, and it's hard to answer because. So if you look at the Russian media, or they will tell you that they present the truth in, and so
everybody thinks that they're presenting the truth, even if they know that they're not. They're always making it look more rosy.
but you know, then it's one example is that BBC is a British media, but I think it's a pretty, everybody respect the BBC in a sense, and so it's not always because you are state funded that you are biased, or you know, some Arabic speaking media would say that anyway, any Western media, even independent, is biased because we have a Western view of looking at the world. So then what is a biased view? Is any media ever could be completely fair and unbiased? It's actually hard to,
well, yeah,
to answer.
Being fair and balanced only from your perspective.
Yeah,
right?
From your Western perspective.
Well, yeah, because you have ingrown biases that you don't even realize you have. Just the way you make a statement is biased without even you knowing it and trying hard not to.
Yes.
Well, what do you think about ridicule on certain subjects? Because there's certain subjects that people are afraid to even cover because they're laughed at and ridiculed. You know, like the people who are questioning 9/11, they're called truthers and laughed at. Whether it's new paradigms and new scientific theories, they're laughed at. You know, it'll take a new theory in science can take, you know, 30 years before they're treated seriously, and they might end up being right, but they're laughed at and abused during that process, especially at first. You know, alternative medicines, aliens, you know, everybody's laughed at if you even try to cover it seriously. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
Well, I think that if like 10 years ago, a serious journalist would have say, hey, you know, you should better be careful of your webcam because it can be turned turned on by distance, or you know, your phone can record all your conversation, and we would have think that this person is crazy. But after Edward Snowden revelation, we know that it's actually very usual. So
it's true.
So what seems crazy one day can be a complete accepted truth the next day. So that's why we should value debate and information circulation to always know more about what is really going on. But then after saying that, I think there's will always be crazy theories as well. So,
oh yes, there's always these people out there that are very creative in their thinking. They're almost too open-minded, right?
Yes.
But it's, you should at least listen and go, okay, I don't, don't see much there.
And it makes me think of actually Noam Chomsky that I interviewed recently.
Yes.
And he was saying and something that I think I will remember. He was like, when everybody agrees that something is true, you should really ask yourself if it is true.
That's probably
because
true.
You are listening to Business Game Changers, and we need to take a short station break.
Hey, Owen, I just heard about this book on the Dr. Pat Show, and these reviews on Amazon are amazing.
Oh, yeah? What's the book?
It's called Conscious Being by T.J. Woodward.
Oh, he's the Awakened Living radio host.
Yeah. This book looks like just the guide we've been looking for to really connect and make those conscious changes in our everyday relationships and experiences.
I love it. Can we get it on our Kindle apps?
Of course.
To learn more about Conscious Being and author T.J. Woodward, visit consciousbeingbook.com.
Welcome back to Business Game Changers. I'm Sarah Westall, and I'm talking to Delphine Helgen from Reporters Without Borders.
Then you don't even think why are people considering anything true? Like, why is Iran a threat? Why? So just go to wonder why and list the facts and for anything.
Yeah, if you don't have the facts for it, then is it just propaganda? I also think if you see somebody who's very serious and it's very probable and they're presenting very factual, they're very, they present it very professionally and they're really trying to dig into facts and researching it, I don't know why we wouldn't at least try to take them seriously in the sense of trying to listen and keep our mind open to see what it is that they're presenting. And I think we as a society shut people down too quickly who are presenting things in a way that seem credible.
Yeah, and we, you know, as a representative of an organization, we defend freedom of information. I can only say that, yes, we should encourage debate and information and to just reinforce our democracies.
There was do you know who Graham Hancock is?
I'm sorry, but I don't.
You know, he's very interesting. He's written a book about the fact that he believes that there was a more advanced civilization of humans that it was us, essentially, but we were much more advanced 10, 15,000 years ago, and there was cataclysms that hit the Earth and mm-hmm. wiped out, you know, wiped us almost completely out. And that's why there's architecture found all over the world that's more advanced than even some of the stuff that we can do today. They had different technology, right? And you can see the architecture was very advanced, and then it was a lot less advanced just 5,000 years ago. So, you know, he's trying to answer those questions, but he was talking to the top researcher in Egypt. He's in charge of the Egypt's research on, you know, archaeology. And he was supposed to debate him, and this is how the internet has changed the world. He started pretty much throwing a tantrum with this guy because he presented some facts that he did not want him to present. And he said that he's the final word on this stuff, and so it's on the internet. And Graham Hancock is like, well, I think we should be able to openly debate this, and he just completely threw a tantrum like a little kid. And it's funny to watch, and I think that's the example of having control in the wrong, you know, in not being mm-hmm. mature about it, not looking at different. I don't know if Graham is right or not, but he has a lot of interesting things that we need to look at and facts that he's presenting.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely, we should always encourage debate.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I've been wanting to do, like I said, I've been wanting to do this interview for a while. When is your next index coming out?
Next February.
Okay, so that will be on what happened in 2015, essentially?
That's correct.
And what do you do to keep your reputation clean? What does the org- you know, because it's hard, because who's to say who's backing you guys, you know?
Yeah,
like you being accused of being an agent of the United States.
Well, I'm actually, thanks God, more encouraged to continue to do my work than accused of doing wrong work. But I think the best way to get a good reputation is to do good work. So as long as we continue to defend journalists in the U.S., in Eritrea, in China, we keep, and I think the most important is to have a good reputation for these journalists who are pretty much unknown and who are really risking their life to do their jobs.
Well, I think also having transparency so that we know what you're putting forth is done, you know, it's transparent. So we see how you're going about getting the information that you're getting. I think that's important. You guys do. You publish all that, correct?
Yes. Yes. We have a full-time statistician working on this index. And again, we always trying to improve the transparency, the scientific aspect of it, and to expand our network to get more and more people involved in seeing and discovering or sharing our work.
And can people donate to your cause?
Of course.
And then
we are a 501c3 in the U.S., so we accept, of course, any individual donation.
Okay. Well, good. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. And I will have your information for your organization up on my webpage and my radio page, and I wish you good luck going forward.
Thank you so much, Sarah, and have a good weekend.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for joining me today, and I think this was a very timely and important discussion that we had. I'm going to continue tracking this and seeing where this goes as they come out with their next index. I think it's important also to be aware that we have to know who's behind all these different organizations and understand whether we're being fed propaganda or whether we're being fed truth. And it's really hard to know the difference because all of us are any business person understands marketing and that we need to push our agenda forward. All of us have probably had anybody who's runs a business has had marketing experience. You know how to send your messages. You're doing things for a reason. And as an enlightened business person, you know that that's happening from all directions. So it's important for us to be able to see other means of media, other sources of information so that we can get the full picture. And this has to continue if we want to make this world a better place. Otherwise, we're going to be stuck with just the renegades coming forward with their own, you know, propaganda and weird things. And we're not going to get the good people who are just trying to get the information out there to be able to do that unless we have freedom. And freedom of the press is one of the things that is a pillar of a democracy. If we really think that we have freedom in this country, we better get our freedom of the press in order. So that's it for now, and I'm very happy that you joined Business Game Changers today. You can always go to my website at sarahwestall.com to see my latest episodes and all episodes that I've ever done. Excuse my first ones that aren't the best I've done. Actually, you know what? They're very good interviews. It's just the intros and the stuff that I do beforehand is kind of bad. But I don't care. Everybody starts off somewhere. I think after about my 15th show, I get a lot better at it. So I think I'm into my 70th show now. So I have quite a bit of episodes up there and some really top-notch people in industry, business CEOs, entrepreneurs, people in politics and government, all sorts of areas of our society that are important to talk about and to dive into. So once again, thank you for joining me on Business Game Changers, and I hope you have a wonderful day.
You've been listening to Business Game Changers with host Sarah Westall. Tune in each Monday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, as Sarah brings you leading experts, visionaries, and newsmakers who provide the best commentary on big issues and cutting-edge innovations. Sarah's 20 years as a business executive will help you think like an entrepreneur with expertise, energy, and attitude. Tune in Mondays at 12 noon Pacific Time and learn more about Sarah at sarahwestall.com today.